Well, I want to invite you to grab your sermon guide and find your way in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 8. The first word in verse 8 really deserves specific attention in the introduction this morning for our text and our message. And that word is finally. I want you to know that when the books of the Bible were originally written, they did not contain chapter or verse references or section headings. The way our Bibles are organized now was added in the translation process. So the word finally here in verse 8 seems out of place since we know that Peter is not done wrapping up his letter. But since this is the case, we can rightly assume that the word finally is used purposely by Peter for something else. He uses finally to identify his conclusion to his teaching on submission and how it relates to different groups of Christians. Starting back in chapter 2 and verse 13, Peter has addressed several specific groups of Christians and how, as strangers in a strange land, they should be living in godly submission. Christian citizens, Christian slaves, Christian wives, and Christian husbands. And in this final section on submission in verses 8 through 12, he speaks to all Christians in general when he says, "Finally, all of you." He then proceeds to identify what I call six characteristics of submissive Christians. So this morning, you know, absolutely speaks to all of us here who have a relationship with Christ and how that plays out in our submission to each other. And as we go through these different characteristics of submissive Christians, I'll be pointing out how submission interacts with these characteristics. So again, six characteristics of submissive Christians. Find your way to your sermon guide. Here we go. The first characteristic is found in the phrase, be like-minded. Be like-minded. The phrase like-minded implies having the same intent, the same purpose, or the same perspective. So, the first characteristic of a submission Christian is this. They are on the same page with other Christians about what matters to Christ. They are on the same page with other Christians about what matters to Christ. Now, I will say, over my course of many years in ministry, I've discovered that for some Christians, being like-minded means that we all have the same Bible translation, or we all wear the same things, we have the same appearance, or we all consume the same entertainment. Some Christians think that's what being like-minded is all about. But that's not what the Bible teaches that being like-minded actually means. When the Bible says we are to be like-minded, you and I should have a few things together in unison or in unity. One of them is this. We should have the same attitude of Christ. The same attitude of Christ. Paul mentions this in Philippians chapter 2. He says, in your relationships, talking to fellow Christians, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset or attitude as Christ Jesus. That's what being like-minded is about, having this same attitude. Christ demonstrated a selfless concern for us, and then he asked for us to have the same in return for each other. So this attitude of Christ is this. It is a selfless concern for others that is willing to set aside my rights for your benefit. That's part of what it means biblically to be like-minded. But it's not just having the same attitude of Christ. It's also having the same agenda of Christ. Christ revealed his agenda for us while he was here on earth in his ministry. One way he expressed it was this way. This is part of Christ's agenda for us. He tells us we should be loving God and loving people. Love God and love people. He said himself, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. So part of the agenda of Christ is to love God and love people. He also called on us to make more and better disciples as part of his agenda. Before he returned to the Father, he said this to his disciples and to us, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Love God, love people. more and better disciples. Same attitude, same agenda of Christ is what we should be pursuing. Now, it would seem that since Christ has made it very clear what he expects from us, that our willingness to be on the same page with each other would be easy to submit to. But it's simply not been the case. Unfortunately, when submission comes into play with this first characteristic, it expresses itself in two very opposite ways. One expression would be this, that in our Christian experience, we are told by a select few people that in order to be like-minded, we must submit to their list of do's and don'ts that they believe really matter to Christ and determine biblical unity. But what happens too many times is that it comes from a Pharisaical approach to God's word and leads to more discord than like-mindedness. I will say to you that being on the same page doctrinally is important, but we've added way too many pages to the book, way too many things, peripheral things, non-essential things. The other submission expression related to this characteristic would be when we decide that we will not project our preferences on other Christians as criteria for fellowship or use non-essentials as matters of conflict. Just not use those as areas that we're going to fight about. So instead, we choose to focus our energy on the things that really matter most to Christ and pursue these things together. Things like loving God and loving people and making more and better disciples. I believe that this second submission expression is much more in line with being like-minded that's being referred to in verse 8. The second characteristic of being a submissive Christian comes from the command to be sympathetic. Be sympathetic. The word sympathy means to feel with. Literally, it means this, to have a fellow feeling with someone. That means that you're kind of feeling things with them, with that person. And Peter is saying a submissive Christian is sympathetic to other Christians. Here's what it looks like. Submissive Christians, they seek to understand what other Christians are feeling and facing in their current stage of life. They seek to understand what other Christians are feeling and facing in their current stage of life. They sympathize with them. They feel with them. And I want you to know that we are in good company when we choose to be sympathetic. God is sympathetic towards needy people. The psalmist puts it this way. But you, God, see the trouble of the afflicted. You consider their grief, and you take it in hand. That means God has entered into the feeling and understanding of this grief and trouble. We're also in good company because Jesus shows sympathy to people in need. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, talking about our high priest, Jesus Christ, when we're in need. It says, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. And it goes on to say, because of that relationship we have with Jesus Christ as our high priest, we can boldly approach the throne of grace and find mercy and help in our time of need. And Jesus sympathizes with us. He comes alongside and feels these things with us. And this type of sympathy that God has towards needy people and Jesus has towards people is the same kind of sympathy that we're to be demonstrating towards each other in the body of Christ. That same kind of feeling dynamic. And the question is, how does submission play into being sympathetic? Well, I have discovered that we all have a natural yet sinful tendency to have what I call relational tunnel vision. Relational tunnel vision. This means that we can be very good at focusing on our own feelings and the issues we are facing, and we want others to hear about what's going on in our life. And to some extent, that's okay, but the Bible reminds us that we need to do this. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Our vision when it comes to sympathy and needs and issues and concerns needs to be much broader than the tunnel vision that just points to us. Whether we're asking people to look to us or we're looking to tell people only about us. Here's how the submission works when it comes to being sympathetic. I submit by not just being caught up with my own feelings and the circumstances I'm going through, but by reaching out to other Christians with the purpose of doing this, having a fellow feeling with them. I'm going to be sympathetic with them. I'm willing to do this. The third characteristic of a submissive Christian is we are to love one another. Love one another. Now, the Bible uses many terms or a few terms for the word love. Probably the most well-known is agape, which carries the meaning of sacrifice and seeking the highest good for another person. But here, Peter uses a different word for love. He uses philadelphos. Yes, you can say it with me, philadelphos, which comes from the word Philadelphia, which we know as city of brotherly love. And when he uses the word love as philadelphos, philadelphos has a very specific target. The target is other Christians. He's saying we should have a fondness for the brethren. We should have love for the brethren. Literally, we should have a fraternal feeling for the brethren. So the third characteristic of a submissive Christian is this. They value and invest time in building relationships with other Christians. They value and invest time in building relationships with other Christians. That's part of this dynamic of being submissive. And this investment sometimes is cultivated in formal settings like coming to church or being in a community group. Sometimes it's developed while we serve with other people. But we're investing, we're building in people's lives. And the Bible places an emphasis on this. The book of Hebrews says this, "And let us, Christians, consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." So we invest, we value our time in relationships with other believers. Now, some of you right now might be thinking, I don't need to submit in this characteristic because I love my church. I love serving. I love being with the brethren. I love God's people. You would say that you're an active part of the fraternity of God's people. And I would say to you, that's great. Keep it up and thank you for being willing to actively invest in each other in the context of our church and community group and serving. But the submission struggle in this area is real for some Christians, and it looks like this. When it comes to church, some have decided to come and then they leave right away, not really interested in investing. Some just come whenever they want, and it's on their terms. When it comes to something like community groups, they push back against any small group interaction. I will not submit to this small group concept. Not going to invest in building relationships. And when it comes to things like service, there's little or no service, or they say, I just don't have time for that. Well, unfortunately, these kind of responses are demonstrating the wrong kind of submission that Peter's talking about. You see, when you came to Christ, your relationship with him also placed you into his fraternity of fellow believers. And we are called to be involved by loving one another, investing in this, and submitting in this way. So here's the question. How are you doing in submitting to your part in the fraternity of investment in other believers? How are you doing in submitting to your part in the fraternity investment in other believers? The fourth characteristic is be compassionate. The word for compassion used here is found in only one other place in the New Testament. Paul uses it in Ephesians 4:32 when he says that you and I need to be tenderhearted. So Peter says we are to have compassion or to be tenderhearted and we're to be sympathetic. And the question came to my mind, is there a difference between these two things, between compassion and sympathy? And the answer is yes. You see, sympathy means you understand or come alongside to feel with that person, Compassion means you take action to do something about their feeling. Sympathy is understanding. Compassion is action. And this characteristic of compassion in the life of a submissive Christian is seen this way. They consistently engage in tangible expressions of kindness. They consistently engage in tangible expressions of kindness. If you have a King James Bible in front of you this morning, you'll notice in 1 Peter 3:8 that the phrase used here for compassion is be pitiful. And that's an interesting phrase because it's talking about an action that we should be doing because really none of us want to be considered to be pitiful, but we are called to be pitiful. And this is an interesting phrase because it really helps us to understand the responsibility and the connection between feeling, sympathy, and compassion and action. And it's all related to this word pity because Jesus demonstrated pity. He demonstrated feeling towards people. And I'm reminded of a time in his ministry. In Matthew chapter 20, we read that Jesus encountered two blind men. And they called on him or called out to him for help. And in verse 34, we read that Jesus had compassion or pity on them. He had feelings towards them. He understood that they were in need. But then it says that he healed them. He touched their eyes. He did something and they received their sight. So we are commanded both to feel and to take action. That's what this submissive characteristic is all about. So what's the dynamic as it relates to compassion? How does it relate to submission and what that means? Well, I would say to you that compassion takes time. It takes emotion. It takes energy. It sometimes takes money. It takes sacrifice. It takes the right motives. And all these things involved in compassion take submission. You really have to be willing to put yourself out there. Because of the call to compassion and the submission dynamic, I will need to go out of my way. Sometimes I will need to make a way. Sometimes I'll need to be the way. And often I'm required to just simply get out of the way and allow God to work through me because it's not always about me. It's about seeing the need, feeling the need, and then meeting that need. And all these things take submission, especially when I'm not going to receive any credit or I'm not receiving any recognition, I'm going to need to submit to this characteristic. I'm reminded of the dynamic of this in a few verses in the New Testament. Paul writes in Philippians 2, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. And then in Galatians 6:10, it says, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So I'm not just going to look out for myself. I've got to submit and not just feel, not just be sympathetic, but actually do something about it. And before I move on to the next characteristic, I want to also remind us that part of submitting when it comes to compassion is this, because this is hard for some of you. Submitting as it relates to being a submissive Christian is sometimes this. I need to be willing to receive compassion. I need to be willing to receive help. Sometimes our pride gets in the way and we want to help other people, but when we're in need, we don't receive help very well. And we're denying them the opportunity to be a submissive Christian and to practice their compassion. So we need to be willing to do that. So as we move on, let's move now to the next characteristic. And that is to be humble. This fifth characteristic of a submissive Christian means this. The word humble means to be modest. I found another definition of humble or humility that I thought was very interesting. Here it is. It involves keeping yourself from being self-inflated. That's awesome. Keeping yourself from being self-inflated is basically saying, hey, if you want to be a submissive Christian, you need to work on not getting a big head. Blowing your own horn, you know, kind of drawing attention to yourself. Work on not being self-inflated. So the characteristic of a submissive Christian as it relates to being humble is this. They battle the temptation, listen, to be their greatest fan. They battle the temptation to be their greatest fan. Now listen, we have these issues. We deal with this a lot. But I want you to know that when it comes to Christians and our interaction with each other, an inflated ego doesn't fit in with the lifestyle of being a submissive Christian. It just doesn't. Ego has been defined as edging God out. But for today's context, ego also means this, edging other Christians out. Let me give you an example. Let's be honest with each other this morning. We have a hard time, or at least I have a hard time, enjoying fellowship with other Christians who are just so full of themselves in areas like their money or their possessions or their accomplishments or their knowledge or even their spiritual prowess. When they're flaunting these things, when they're trumpeting these things about themselves, I don't really enjoy my fellowship with them. If we're honest, we also say we struggle with people who know it all, have done it all, and know how to do it best. And that's hard because it's hard to work with those kind of people because they're not being submissive as it relates to their ego and humility. It's important to keep in mind that the Bible addresses humility on several occasions and in very strong terms. Regarding humility, Scripture teaches this, Proverbs 27:2, let someone else praise you and not your own mouth. An outsider and not your own lips. In addressing the arrogance of the Pharisees, Jesus says, for those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. And then James reminds us of God's thoughts about humility when he writes, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. So we need to be practicing the submission of humility. Now, I know that some Christians and even some pastors have taught that really the best way to deal with humility is just to kind of put yourself down. But the Bible doesn't teach that. Being humble is not about putting yourself down. Listen, it's about not overstating the case for yourself. So it's not about putting yourself down. It's about not overstating the case for yourself. Rick Warren defined true humility in this way. He said, true humility is not thinking less of yourself, it is thinking of yourself less. So let me tell you where submission comes in as it relates to humility. Think about this. While you're with other believers, do you find yourself often directing your attention to your accomplishments, to what you have done, how you're doing, how you're successful, how this is going, and all these kind of things? Are you constantly drawing the attention to yourself? Also, as it relates to submission and humility, ask yourself this question. Am I willing to deflate my ego? Another question, am I willing to do things without recognition or reward? And then one final question of submission as it relates to humility. Am I willing to draw less attention to myself, even to the point of exalting someone else? I would say to you that to do these things will require us to demonstrate submission. The last characteristic of a submissive Christian is found in a summary statement I will give you about verses 9 through 12. I realize that there is much more that could be said about these verses, and I also want you to note that verses 10 through 12 are Peter's affirmation of his teaching by quoting Psalm 34, 12 through 16. So join me as we pick up with verse number 9. It reads, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are attentive to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Here's the final characteristic of a submissive Christian, just a summary of these verses. A submissive Christian will do this. They choose their words carefully when responding to verbal attacks and unkind actions. They choose their words carefully when responding to verbal attacks and unkind actions. Even in our relationships with other Christians, we will face times of insult, unwarranted criticism, and even unkind actions. And these things can take place face-to-face, through social media, or behind our backs. And when these things happen, when we face these things, we come to a moment of decision about our words and what we will use when we speak about people and to them. And I would say that certain words will show a lack of submission, while others will show proper submission on our part. You see, proper submission will do this. It says that even though I don't like what they're saying, and I feel justified to lash out, I will control myself and respond with biblical and God-honoring words. That's the kind of submission we should be looking for. But a lack of submission clings to my self-perceived right to respond blow for blow, text for text, post for post. And I want to remind us that the Bible contains scores of verses about the power of our words. Just want to remind us, and keep this in mind as it relates to your interaction, especially with other Christians. Remember this, Proverbs 12:18, the words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. So how does submission relate to our speech and our words in response to each other? Well, it works like this. I would call on you to submit by reading your response before you send it and before you post it. Let me say that again. Before you send it, submit by reading it again. Before you post it, read it again. And be very careful that it's honoring God. Another way that you can submit is by hovering over delete before you go to click. Hover over delete before you go to click. See, we need to submit and be willing to give thought before we speak. Because as we do that, we're showing submission as it relates to how we treat other Christians with the use of our words. 6 characteristics of a submissive Christian. And I would say that the pursuit and practice of these characteristics will not only have a profound impact on what other Christians or on other Christians, but it will also have an impact on how our church functions as the body of Christ. It will also have an impact on our testimony to the world around us as we seek to live as strangers in a strange land. I want to end by having you ask yourself these final application questions. First, which of these submissive characteristics would you consider to be your strongest, and how can you leverage it even more to benefit God's people? And then secondly, which of these characteristics needs your attention the most, and what steps can you take to improve it? Let's pray together. God, you have made it clear that it's very important to you how we interact with many different groups in our culture, whether that be the government or employers or our wives or our husbands. But also, God, you have placed in very high importance how we interact with each other as fellow believers. So this morning we have been approached with the challenge from your word to have characteristics in our lives that would mark being responsive and submissive to you and interacting with each other in such a way that builds each other up and encourages one another and has a good testimony and brings glory to you. So God, I would pray right now as those who have listened go back and maybe think about these different characteristics, that they would be willing to really just look at them and evaluate which are the ones they need to work on. Maybe what are some of the ones that they have been able to have some strength in, and how can they continue to leverage those for your kingdom and to benefit God's people? And God, as we do that, especially as we look at those ones that we need to work on, help us not just to look at them and walk away. Help us to ask you for help and power and strength to improve on those, so that we just live as good testimonies of strangers in a strange land, especially how we interact and how we interact with each other. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.